With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Ben Woods back with you. Final hour on a Monday. Flying by here. Thank you to all the Tier 1s who have been with us from the very beginning of the show. If you'd like to be a Tier 1, it's very easy. Just listen more.
Just listen.
It's all it takes. Not listen all the time. You're a Tier 1 listener to Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Padres, of course, aren't the only baseball team in Southern California currently trying to fill a managerial vacancy. The Los Angeles Angels also trying to hire a manager. Most people expect it's going to be Joe Maddon, but they're interviewing other candidates. I saw reports that John Farrell and Buck Showalter came in for interviews, and they're also dealing with a serious bombshell story. Yeah, bombshell story that has been talked about a lot this weekend. Lawyers involved having to do with the overdose death of pitcher Tyler Skaggs. And joining us right now, covering the Angels for the Orange County Register, their beat writer, Jeff Fletcher, with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Jeff, it's good to have you on Ben and Woods this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jeff, just get us caught up to date on where kind of the legal case surrounding the Tyler Skaggs death currently stands, both within the Angels organization, with the Skaggs family. What is going to happen next? Just kind of explain it to us and our listeners, if you could.
Well, right now, all we really know is that the Eric Kay, who was a member of the PR staff for a long time, told the DEA that he and Tyler Skaggs had used opioids together for several years, and that they had sort of an arrangement where Skaggs would pay for them and they would use them together. And apparently they had been doing that in the days leading up to his death. Now, where that goes from here, obviously the criminal part of it is that Eric Kay has done something illegal. How much results from that is not really clear at this point, but I think that just from my limited expertise with the DEA and the government, I think they're most interested in prosecuting the big fish, so to speak, the drug suppliers and those kind of people, more than a guy who buys three pills at a time. You know, they might want to make an example of him and, you know, do something to him, but I don't think it's going to be he's not going to spend his life in jail or anything like that. It's certainly, you know, he's not going to be charged with murder or anything like that, because nobody forced Tyler Skaggs to do anything. So they were just participating in illegal drug use.
And I'm assuming
go ahead.
I was just saying, I'm assuming that this guy that came forward, Kay, came forward because there were text messages found and Venmo transactions that have been documented. This wasn't a, hey, I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart, but a, hey, I better come forward and tell the truth about what's going on right now to save myself from getting in any serious trouble.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you always have the right to plead the fifth and, you know, not answer questions. But I think that, you know, if there's text messages, a trail like that between the two of you, you know, you're kind of stuck. And like I said, I think that probably the government would have explained to him, although I don't know this for sure, this is just kind of my assumption, is that they said, look, we're most interested in finding out where you got the stuff from and where they got it from and where it's being produced and how it's getting into the United States. And that kind of thing is really what the DEA is more interested in than rounding up a bunch of people to buy, you know, three pills at a time.
For Angels fans, though, Jeff, what is going to be the impact on this organization? I mean, they don't have a manager right now. Are they equipped to get through this and, you know, continue to move on, because it seems like it has the potential to be a very divisive, tough issue hanging over the head of whoever is the new skipper.
Well, I mean, I'm not 100% sure that that's true. I mean, if this is just one individual with a player, you know, then that's
crap.
Not necessarily any kind of a systemic organizational thing. Now, if the Angels were somehow encouraging Tyler Skaggs to take painkillers so he could pitch, you know, these kind of painkillers, then they could be held liable. They could be sued for millions and millions of dollars. That could be a big problem. If there's any pattern of them doing this with other players, right now there's no evidence of any of that.
We lost him.
We lost Jeff. Jeff, hey,
there you are. You're cutting in and out a little bit.
Yeah, let's see if we can just kind of refresh the line, so to speak, whatever we do to try to get that going, because I am very interested to hear about this and how it's going to affect, because this is a big offseason for the Angels as well. Clearly, Artie Moreno has that go-for-it mentality, wants to be a big spender potentially on the free agent market.
Make a splash with manager.
They talked about with Gerrit Cole as being maybe one of the leading candidates for him in the offseason. Jeff, I think we get you back online. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Terms of the free agency market for the Angels, what do you see kind of how this offseason is going to transpire for the team?
Well, they need pitching. They definitely need starting pitching. They need probably two good starting pitchers. Gerrit Cole is obviously the best guy out there, and he's from Orange County. He's certainly going to be a target. He's going to cost a lot of money, and they would like to get him. Be another guy like a Zach Wheeler type guy, and I think that Artie Moreno is definitely interested in spending some money this year. I think that when they fired Brad Ausmus, it showed that he's getting a little impatient and he wants to win right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do up the payroll a little bit.
We're talking to Jeff Fletcher from the OC Register. And back to the Tyler Skaggs story real quick. The one thing that kind of jumped out at me was the gentleman, Kay, that was in, I guess, a hospital or rehab. And Tyler Skaggs was texting him while he was in the hospital. And his mom actually saw it. And I guess she spoke to an Angels official who no longer is with the Angels. And that official has now denied ever knowing this. The cover-up here, if there is one, to be fair, there's not really one yet, the cover-up always is worse than the crime. What are the ramifications this could have on the Angels as an organization?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, right now it seems like it's just one person's word against another person's word. And, you know, there's all kinds of different layers of what did they know if, you know, they knew that a player had some kind of substance problem that doesn't necessarily tell how serious it is, or, you know, there's all kinds of different layers to it, and we don't really know right now. I think that for the Angels to really be legally in trouble, they would have to prove that they were negligent in doing something that they should have done for any other player.
Yeah.
You know, and they're certainly not going to go knock on everybody's door at 2 a.m. in their hotel room and make sure they're not doing anything. So, you know, it's a difficult situation, certainly.
It is. And, the interesting thing to me, and if I have this right, I'm pretty sure, I'm about 99% sure that I do. If you're on the 40-man roster in Major League Baseball, they don't test you for recreational drugs. And I wonder if something like this, and obviously we've seen it here in San Diego, you know, one of our beloved stars, and it's happened a lot in the history of baseball. Do you wonder if that's something that will ever be changed? Because if this could have been identified, even if it was with a positive test, maybe it could have saved this young man's life.
Definitely. They didn't test for performance-enhancing drugs
10
years ago, and it became a problem enough that they started testing for them. So you can see that if there's enough interest, certainly of the players and the teams, they just have to agree to it, that they could test for these kind of things. And if it saves one person's life, then you think it's probably worth it.
Last thing for me, Jeff, what day do they announce Joe Maddon as the new manager of the Angels?
It could be any day now. I assume it's going to be Joe Madden, but, you know, until it happens, we don't know for sure. But I would think that we should start kind of looking out in the next 3 days or so.
Unless I see him walking into Petco Park for an interview, because I know the Padres would be interested.
Oh, of course.
It tells me that he's got to be close with the Angels, or, you know, otherwise he'd be looking at other options at this moment. But, hey, it doesn't. We're not staked out 24/7 either. So you never know, I guess, until the final final contract is signed. Jeff, really appreciate it. Thanks for checking in with us on what's going on with the Halos.
All right, thanks a lot.
Jeff Fletcher, OC Register, Angels beat writer. It sounds like obviously it's going to be a delicate issue for the Angels to move forward. There are legal ramifications, but if everything kind of plays out the way at least Jeff is anticipating, it's not something that's going to like ruin the Angels or wreck the team. They could still be a big player in free agency this offseason and still do what they were hoping to do with Joe Madden, maybe Gerrit Cole. Take that step forward that they've been looking for.
It is gnarly, though, to think about. Thinking about a team official going out and scoring, you know, oxycodone for, you know, a top pitcher in your rotation and actually partying with him and kind of having the secret drug affair, if you will, texting back and forth, an exchange of money, all this paper trail. It's awful. It's awful all around. But like I said, if you're testing your 40 man pretty regularly, Ben, who knows what you could find? Honestly, who knows what you could find? And who knows if you could save a player's life? It's really, really sad.
97.3 The Fan invites you to join former Aztecs men's basketball coach Steve Fisher, along with Brian Dutcher and the SDSU men's basketball team for the annual Walk to Defeat ALS. Coming up later this week on October 20th, 8 a.m. at Mission Bay's De Anza Cove. For more info, go to alsasd.org. Coming up next, haven't really talked any college football this weekend. You had SC Notre Dame, Florida LSU, and quite the comeback for the Aztecs on Saturday night at SDCCU Stadium. Jumping into all of that coming up next with Ben and Woods. Right now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Had another case of Rocky being Rocky on Saturday night.
You know, after the game?
We love Rocky. After the game.
After the game.
After the game. So, I was watching Saturday night, and the Aztecs, pretty abysmal in the first half. Fell behind 14-6. Wyoming really just looked like they were dictating terms of that game. You know, pounding it, doing what they wanted with the ground game. Their redshirt freshman quarterback, Chambers, I think his name was, looked like the best athlete on the field. And it looked like San Diego State was going to lose their second straight conference home game. Really put them in a bad position. So then they come out in the second half, and it's like, brand new team, Woodsy. Brand new team.
Yeah, a little adjustment at halftime.
Yeah, the defense looks great. They're stopping Wyoming, shut them out in the third quarter. They capitalize on a couple of Juwan Washington touchdowns. Go from down 14-6, they're up 19-14. They did give up a touchdown in the fourth quarter, but then scored another one with about 2 minutes to go. Held on for the win. Got another interception at the end of the game. Luke Barkou is fourth in 2 weeks.
Good God.
Yeah. Now it's second in the nation, I think, in interceptions.
Jesus.
Just like that in a span of 2 weeks. And a really big win. And the Aztecs are now in first place alone in the West Division of the Mountain West at 2-1. They've got two road games coming up against usually kind of the pushovers, but they're a little bit better this year. San Jose State, which has a win over Arkansas, and then UNLV, which just beat an SEC team in Vanderbilt this weekend. So not gimmies, but two games that you should win and put yourself in position going into a bye week to be 4-1 in the conference, 7-1 on the season. The Aztecs have done what they needed to do. So Rocky, after the game, in typical Rocky fashion, was asked about, as you said, you know, what were the adjustments defensively you made in the second half? And Rocky gets up in front of the media as he does and goes, nothing. We didn't change a dang thing. Nothing at all. They just played better. Just played better in the second half. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. We didn't change anything.
So good.
And he goes, oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, all the adjustments I made, really, genius.
I killed it. Yeah,
all
totally,
my adjustments.
Totally switched it up.
Didn't change a single thing. Same calls, same everything. It just worked in the second half, and it didn't work in the first half. No one Rocky makes every other football coach in America look like they overthink the game.
Of course.
Way too much. And Rocky really kind of underthinks it. I mean, you know, fourth down, feels like going for it, he goes for it. Doesn't feel like going for it, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about analytics. It's not about adjustments. It's simply about getting your players ready to play, doing what you do. He doesn't abandon the game plan. If it's run the ball, they're going to run the ball. The defense they're going to call are the defense. And, you know, the team that plays best then wins the game. And he keeps it, you know, pretty simple for his players. And it tends to be a winning formula because they're now one win away from becoming bowl eligible for a 10th consecutive year. Yeah. I grew up here in San Diego. The thought of the Aztecs going to 10 straight bowl games. Paul, you were an Aztec. 10 straight bowl games. You see that coming?
No, it's pretty incredible.
You're probably graduating right around number one or two back then. Just getting going on their bowl streak.
No, I mean, I started San Diego State in 2009, so.
All right, so that was when the streak started.
Ryan Lindley was the quarterback when I went.
Yeah.
That was the year before the streak started.
Yes.
Still very, very unexpected from San Diego State. Good win. Beat Wyoming. Keep the train moving forward.
The Hoke rules. That's when I was there.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to watch that game and I didn't. I was exhausted. I watched football from sunup to sundown.
All right. What did you watch on Saturday?
Well, I was watching the baseball game.
Right.
Right.
Did you get any football in?
Not that night. I had to basically abandon the Irish USC game when
that turned out.
It was really, really good.
To be kind of a dramatic one at the end. Notre Dame was kind of controlling early. USC made it a game of it in the second half and nearly came and stole that one in South Bend. The Irish barely hanging on.
Every loss, though.
30-27.
Every loss that USC suffers, they're just one step closer to Urban Meyer.
Right now, Clay Helton is. He's tentatively safe because USC has an interim athletic director right now, and they're not going to let an interim AD hire a new football coach.
Right.
So until they hire a new athletic director,
yeah, he's good.
Clay Helton's just going to keep doing what he's doing. And, you know, USC is still in the Pac-12 South. I mean, they've got a chance to win that conference. So losing to Notre Dame doesn't torpedo your conference chances. So even though they're 3-3 on the season, if they take care of business in their own division, they could still get to the Pac-12 championship game. And who knows? You win that one, you're in the Rose Bowl. And all of a sudden, Clay Helton's not necessarily on the hot seat anymore, but it's going to require the Trojans to go on a winning streak. And if they don't, obviously Clay Helton will be replaced, and whoever the new AD is going to get to hire Urban Meyer, whoever they want, as the new head coach at USC. I don't think it's overly complicated what Clay Helton's future looks like at USC.
He'll get
to finish this season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, unless he pulls off a semi-miracle the rest of the way, he'll be fired. And that's pretty much what Clay Helton has to look forward to the next 2 months.
No doubt about it. It was a game that was a lot closer. But, you know, you look at SC and you're watching them, and I watched the, you know, I flip back and forth, but they're just talent-laden. I mean, they're 3-4 deep at every position, and except for quarterback.
They get their pick of recruits.
They
really do. I mean, Alabama... Obviously, in Clemson on the East Coast, but on the West Coast, let's be honest.
You look at them and you're like, how do you lose a game?
They get to pick who they want.
You're the most athletic team out there, and you look at them and you're like, how do you lose? It's like the Texans, you know, the Houston Texans. You look at what they've got.
It's not a comparison.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not Deshaun Watson.
It's very athletic.
Hopkins.
But it's the NFL. They're all athletic in the NFL.
I understand, but if you put that team with the right coach. Imagine what the Houston Texans could be with a Sean McVay offensive mind, right? And you look at USC and you're like, what would Urban Meyer do with these kids? It's scary to think about. Their third string running back, Notre Dame could not stop. They just couldn't stop him. And he would just run up the middle for 18, 20 yards. You lose your mind watching these games. And you're like, how do you lose? How do you ever lose a game?
LSU takes care of Florida in a battle of unbeatens, and the Tigers now up to number two in the polls after their win. It's very college football that the number one and number two teams in the nation not only play in the same conference, but they play in the same division of the same conference in the SEC, so they'll have to meet each other in the regular season coming up in about a month, I think, Alabama-LSU, as they do every year. Only one can go to the conference championship game, which means you always have that dilemma. If one of those teams' only losses is to the other team, can you put in the playoff a team that didn't even make their own conference championship game?
It's happened.
It has happened. And it could happen again this season based on what's going on with LSU and Alabama right now. Ed Orgeron said that that LSU is a place where, like, what, opposing
dreams team, go to
dreams
die?
Go to die? So and when they do it in that voice, maybe literally.
In some sort of torture room. It's so good. That is Ed Orgeron pitch shifted down, which is just, I could listen to it all day.
And then finally, feel bad for our program director, Adam Klug.
Oh, my God.
Georgia, his Bulldogs. And by the way, he was at the barbecue trying to avoid on Saturday our 97.3 the fan barbecue, the barbecue at our house, trying to avoid finding out what happened in the Georgia game because they were DVRing it, which is just, I mean, when you're with a bunch of sports people who are constantly on their phones.
We're a sports show.
Checking tweets and scores.
Yeah, going to go to a sports radio station event and not to hear any updates.
But somehow he managed it. He managed it. With everyone had arrived at the party, save one. And somehow no one had spoiled it
for him.
He
managed it for about 15 minutes.
And then the last person who came to the party didn't know, obviously, that Adam hadn't seen what happened. And broke the bad news to Adam. So, sorry. Yeah, double overtime loss to South Carolina. Georgia goes down.
One of the rougher weeks in Atlanta, in Georgia history, Ben. I've got it for you again. If
is that between the hedges? I always get confused.
What?
Is that Georgia? Or is there, where's the hedges?
Georgia has the hedges.
They have the hedges.
Yeah,
are they actual hedges?
There are. South Carolina ripped some of them. It was,
really?
It was a bad scene. Yeah, it was a bad look. But here in Georgia, Ben, not here in Georgia, there in Georgia, thank God. On Sunday, the Falcons lost to Houston 53-32. On Monday, the Braves lost to St. Louis 5-4. On Wednesday, the Braves lost to St. Louis 13-1, eliminating them. On Saturday, UGA, Georgia, lost to South Carolina. They were 23-point favorites, something like that, 20-17 in two overtimes. On Saturday, Georgia Tech lost to Duke 41-23. And on Sunday, the Falcons lost to Arizona, the Arizona Cardinals, 34-33. That is a hellish, hellish regional sports week. It would be so fun to cover, though, don't you think?
They are probably having a good time on Sports Talk Radio this morning.
I bet
in
you
Atlanta.
They're. But our boss Adam was like, "I honestly feel cursed. Like this is a curse. Pretty bad. Pretty bad."
Ted Leitner's enjoying the show this morning. He is like the biggest Ray Charles fan of all time.
Oh, did is you know he? That? I did not know that.
Ted Leitner loves him some Ray Charles.
I didn't know that.
No idea.
All right. When we come back, we'll finish up with some NFL talk. I am tearing my hair out at the people in the NFL and the national media who are now coming around and saying, wow, what a big mistake it was to let the Chargers move to Los Angeles. Just now. They're finally coming around to what we've been saying for the last 3 years.
Well,
and they're finally realizing what an incredible mistake it was.
And one of their own players has weighed in on Twitter this morning.
All right. Oh, yeah. That is coming up next from Ben and Woods. Don't go away. It's 97.3 The Fan.
Well, you can only imagine how that went over. It went off like a lead balloon, basically. It didn't go over well at all. He then tried to walk back his comments the next day, and I think it was summed up best by Sean Doolittle that said this when notified of the comments. He said, quote, "I think if your reaction to someone having a baby is anything other than congratulations, I hope everybody's healthy, you're an a-hole." And did not shorten the word.
Let me.
See what Doolittle said after?
Yeah, I just read it. Where you been?
Doing work.
He just did. Yeah,
he did it. I told you he did that when you were gone too. He did it same twice that. When I was gone.
We're gonna have to go back and listen.
Oh, I love it.
You know, since our goal is to try to get other people to listen to this show,
yeah,
maybe
we should
start
listen. Oh.
By all of us listening to the show
now
while
that,
we're doing it.
It's a little bit overrated, Ben.
I've
listening.
Been guilty myself.
Oh, I know you have.
A long show. So you expect me to listen to all 4 hours?
I'm
like tier one and a half.
It's one of my favorite things when I say, like, if somebody says, "Hey, did you hear the news about?" Yeah, we just said it. We said it an hour ago.
Like 2 minutes.
I said it a minute and a half ago. Just kills me.
I want to open up our phone lines here. Last few minutes. Any ex-Chargers fans? Any NFL observers who watched what happened last night in Carson? You got some thoughts? 833-288-0973. We're going to get to that coming up next after a check of traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick.
Well, emergency crews are hoping to reopen the fast lane southbound 5 between Las Pulgas Road and Harbor Drive. They're still investigating an early morning fatal collision involving a car and a semi. Now, southbound side of the 15, an accident just past the 76. Looks like that is in the center divide. You'll also find a crash on the La Jolla Village Drive off-ramp of northbound 5. Westbound King Freeway at the North 5 connector ramp. Watch out for a stall car that is over to the right shoulder of that ramp. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Single back is Gordon with Rivers under center along the left hash. Drops to throw, swing pass Gordon over his head. That's behind the line. The ball is loose, scooped up by the Steelers. It's picked up by Devin Bush, who dives into the end zone for a touchdown.
Why would he not take that ball? But that's a big play for the Steelers in an away home game for them.
Chris Boswell drives the kickoff through the end zone for the touchback. Normally, when you're on the road, a defensive touchdown would quiet the crowd, but as you deemed it an away home game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to do anything but. You can already see the terrible towels starting to wave everywhere in the stadium as the Charger offense takes the field.
The last time the Steelers played out here, the Chargers had to go to a silent count because it was so loud for the home team that they couldn't hear.
Pathetic. It was pathetic yesterday.
Yeah, every team commits turnovers. I don't know if there's one more embarrassing than the backwards pass that is just sitting on the turf then, and the defensive team gets to just pick it up and run it into the end zone for a touchdown. That one always looks a little more humiliating than your standard fumble or interception down the field. That was a tough way for them to start. Ended with a 24-17 Pittsburgh Steelers win at Dignity Health Sports Park. Ben and Woods with you here on 97.3 The Fan. I was all in for the tweets, though, during the game. Had some local favorites, like Annie Heilbrun, who tweeted, "Don't post a lot about this anymore, but nights like this are a reminder that this move should never have happened. Blaming SD and the fans who supported for so long should never have happened. But it did, and here we are. Manipulation, greed, arrogance, a shame." I saw that a lot. People said, "Yeah, oh well, I know it's a lot of Steelers fans, but hey, Qualcomm was overrun by opposing fans every single game." That's just totally not true. In the end, yeah, the last couple of seasons when the whole relocation drama was playing out, it got kind of ugly. But there was like a decade during the LT era where you could not get a ticket, and that place was packed with nothing but Chargers fans that were loud, that were chanting, you know, "You can't run" on when the Chargers defense was making big stops. You couldn't hear if you were an opposing team coming in there. 70,000 screaming Chargers fans every week. They had a sellout streak that, I mean, I think got like into the hundreds. I'm talking about, this is just revisionist history by saying that San Diego didn't support their football team, and that's why they moved to Los Angeles. Nothing makes me more furious when I see someone make that argument. Well,
every
it's just
Monday.
As bad as it was in San Diego. No, it's not. This is not. This is not the same story at all.
It is. It is. It's fine. You're entitled to this for as long as you want to do it, Ben. But it's starting to filter down to the players. You know, we haven't heard much from them, and I think a lot of them put on the brave face. And I know Philip Rivers has led that charge over the last few years of, hey, you know, make the best of it, and do what we do, and whatever. Patrick Doherty from Roto, he's from Roto something. He tweets, "How is every single Chargers game the exact same? Favored to win, start game slow, major injury to key player, lose close game, repeat." And I mean, he's right. He's right. And that's just the football on the field. Keenan Allen retweets it and writes, "S word, sad." Like, yeah, this is sad. This is sad. This is what happened.
Did he have to do that?
No,
I mean, did he have to do that?
No, he didn't. But you know, he's been one of the more outspoken guys. And listen, again, I will always give you as much leeway as you want to come in and rip the team and talk about how you don't care anymore. But last night was funny. I mean, it was funny. If you don't like the Chargers, you're watching that game and you're going, guys, I've never seen anything like this. The opposing quarterback said after the game he didn't think it was an away game. The best tweet of the night, though. I don't even remember who said it, but they tweeted, man, the Chargers are going to have a long flight home.
Actually,
after
it was
this.
So it was Greg Dawson, who's the boss across the street at NBC.
Killed me.
Just won the night. Flight home for the Chargers.
Long flight home for the Chargers.
The tweet that got me most interested here, though, came from Andrew Brandt, former Green Bay Packers executive, worked at ESPN for a while, now columnist for the MMQB, covers the business of sports, has a podcast. Pretty even-minded, level-headed commentator on the NFL and especially business issues related to the NFL.
Yep.
And he tweeted last night, Chargers are playing in a soccer stadium before they are the Rams' tenants in the new LA stadium where they're having trouble selling PSLs. Seems like had they somehow worked out a deal in San Diego, it would have been much preferable to this. Again, yes. But this is what frustrates me. Andrew Brandt and everyone else in the NFL puts their hands up in the air and says, well, there's nothing we can do about it now. I hate that attitude. I hate that attitude in anything, that there's nothing we can do about it now. We made our bed, now we're going to lie in it. No, it's your business. It is your business. And if you feel like you have made a giant mistake, then go out and fix it. You know what? Make Dean sell the team. Figure out a way, even if you have to pay for it, you'd be better off with a stadium in San Diego that's filled with rabid Chargers fans for a new owner that loves the team than watching this go on decade after decade in Los Angeles where they're apathetic at best to the Chargers.
Why do we want a crappy football team back, though?
Well, new
they're
owner.
Crappy.
New owner, new owner supporting. How about teaming up with SDSU, building a new stadium in Mission
Valley?
Who cares
about the stadium?
With a new
the
owner.
Team sucks. They're crap.
New owner would help.
How is a new owner going to help the...
Look at the Clippers. You get a new owner, all of a sudden there you got some excitement there. You bring in some good players.
Well, I mean,
people could turn the tide, I think, with a new owner.
If they move back down here today, I don't know that I want that crappy team. If we're looking at a team, give me somebody else. That team sucks right now. They're not fun to watch.
Well, they're heading toward a major rebuild. I mean, once Philip Rivers calls it a career, you know, he obviously can't do it single handedly, but they've probably got a couple of three win seasons
in their future
in the next 5 years when Philip Rivers retires. And then, you know, who knows if they rebuild successfully. I mean, I just wonder what's the long-term strategy.
I mean,
they've got to pay a $650 million relocation fee starting next year. Yes, the franchise value has gone up a wee bit, not $650 million relocation fee up. And now you've got to fill a stadium that's going to have, I think, what, 80,000 up to 100,000 for Super Bowl-type seats. You're still having trouble filling, at least with your own fans, a 26,000-seat stadium in Carson. There are real major issues, and the NFL just keeps saying, boy, we made a mistake. It's too bad we can't do anything about it. What is this? Why can you not do anything about it? Why do you just throw your hands up in the air and say, hey, we're at a loss. We have no chance that we can fix this now. Stop with that attitude. Try to fix it. Try to do something. Don't just keep letting it happen week after week after week.
It's happened. It's gone. They're gone. They're not coming back.
We got some callers on the line, 833-288-0973. Dexter is in Spring Valley. Dexter, welcome to Ben and Woods. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I have some friends of mine who are still rabid, quote-unquote, Charger fans.
Yep, us too.
And they were saying that there's some threads going on in these different forums about Spanos basically following what they did in Tennessee, that he's going to rebrand the team once they move into the new stadium, and he's going to let the Charger name die.
Wow.
And they're going to be like whatever the new name is, like basically the LA version of the Ravens.
Interesting.
It would be. I think that would be smart, which means they won't do it.
Shouldn't they have done it 3 years ago?
Everything. Well, now the Titans, remember, they were the Tennessee Oilers for the first couple of years, as Dexter
was saying.
Yeah, first
3 years while they're waiting for the stadium to be built.
Yeah, while they're waiting for the stadium to be built. Here's what I've heard, though, Dexter. Spano's family, as long as they own it, they feel like, hey, it's their dad bought the Chargers. They're the Chargers owners. That's their brand. They're not changing their brand. That's what I've always heard out of that front office, that they are, until they're not the owners anymore, they will be the Los Angeles Chargers, not other team.
They switched to the Powder Blues full time. I mean, that's about as much of a rebrand as they're going to get, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. Powder Blues full time next season. Are they already in Fire Blues full time?
They were yesterday.
They were yesterday. I don't know. They've been wearing white home uniforms for the first part of the season, so I guess we'll find out later in the year. I don't follow them as closely as I do, so
I guess I don't see it quite. I just assume they did.
All right, Tier 10 Mike is in Temecula. He created his own tier.
Oh,
I have no idea what that means, but
it means he hates
Mike,
us.
It's good to be back. Have you back on.
Hey, the reason why I said Tier 10, because I honestly only get an hour with you guys every day, and I don't want to take props from the guys that are calling early in the morning, so I got to spook myself on the
An hour a day
hour
is clearly
fantastic.
Tier 2 or 3
Dude,
at the
fantastic.
Very least. You're doing fine, Mike.
You're killing it, buddy.
All right. Hey, what I wanted to talk about was I believe this is the last of the class of Manning, Roethlisberger, and Phillips. Because Phillips, I'm sorry to say, but he's dwindling and he's forcing issues and all that stuff. So I really feel sorry for him. He's going to be the Dan Marino, and hopefully all those guys are going to get in. But this issue with the stadium, do the Spanos think if they go to the bigger stadium, do you know how many more people are going to fit in for the other team?
Oh, God,
I know. They are going to be the laughing stock for a while. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? But, yeah, I agree with you guys. If they could get a new ownership and Spanos, just take your billion and run and go do what you're going to do. Get the boys out of there. Get a football family in there. We might have a chance. But, you know, that's it.
Well, Mike, thanks for the call. This is where the NFL has to step in, though. Because when the Chargers moved, not only is there that relocation fee, Woods, that they have to start paying, but there's also a sale penalty. I think it's like 20% if the Spanos family sells within the first 10 years or something. So I don't know the exact time frame, but there's like a penalty, so he couldn't just flip the asset, like flip this house where, hey, we're going to move to L.A., value goes up, we sell it, we make a whole bunch of money. The NFL gets cut in on that. So the Chargers don't actually even make – the Spanos family doesn't make – any more money right now if they sell the team. So how can the NFL expect, hey, we would love this owner to maybe get out, but we're going to penalize him if he does? Well, you can't do that. You have to encourage him to sell the team. You have to come up with a deal that that gets him out if that's what you want to do, and force him to rebrand, force him to move back to San Diego. I don't know what the answer is, but it's not working in L.A. That's beyond clear after 2.5 seasons.
Well, I ask you again.
It's not working.
I ask you again, does the commissioner care who's in those seats?
Yeah. Are they selling a bunch of Chargers merchandise at those games? No.
No.
Not at all. I mean, and when another team comes in that's not quite as popular in L.A., say the Tennessee Titans, well, then who's buying those tickets? Nobody. Nobody. When the stadium gets bigger, are there really 70,000 Steelers fans in Southern California who are going to be able to fill it? Sure, 25,000 Steelers fans can show up, but 70 is a lot more than that. I just think that it's a bigger problem than they're even acknowledging at this point.
Well, I wonder what they can do right now, if anything. And like I said it before, I'll say it again. You want to make fun of the Chargers? Just wait till next year when it's going to get really, really ugly.
See, the Chargers fans will tell you that there's just going to be more room for more Chargers
fans.
Which
is not, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Sorry. Paul held up a sign and I totally missed it. I don't know what it said,
don't worry about it.
It was like something important. Is it something important?
It's not anything important.
We have like a major guest to promote for tomorrow.
No, you're good.
No, we don't have that.
Fine.
Some sort of
I already erased promo
that I need to read that I haven't done yet.
No. He was asking if we read Keenan Allen's tweet, and I said, yeah, I did.
Oh, so that he didn't repeat himself again.
Oh,
he's just trying not to embarrass himself.
I'm growing.
Yeah, smart move.
Okay, so I totally missed that.
I should have said no and let you read it.
See, it's different. So at the old place, when we did the show, Paul was behind the glass in the other room, and he could push a little button, just talk in my ear. You wouldn't be able to hear him on the radio, but we could hear him from the other room. So if you wanted to communicate to us, he could do that. Now, here, we're all in the same room, which is cool. I like being in the same room as Paul, but if we're doing the show... What's that?
Nobody can hear me. I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Oh, you hear? That's what, secret in my ear? Yeah. No, see, you can't talk in
here.
Can't
do that anymore.
We're on the air.
Yeah, you two often will be having full conversations, and
I'm just sitting here.
I'm drowning right now. I'd be drowning.
So now we have this little whiteboard where Paul will write messages that I can hold up over his head that I can
then
read.
I mean, I can just text you guys.
Which you do sometimes as well. It's a We're evolving. Our communication skills are evolving.
Yeah, we're what, 4 months in?
Yeah.
Did we talk about, we didn't talk about Taylor Twellman's tweet, yeah, Ben. Did we?
Well, no, we didn't. That was the follow-up. He commented
on Andrew Brandt.
On Andrew Brandt's
right.
tweet.
So Taylor Twellman tweets, there was a strong rumor floating around in recent weeks that the NFL had offered the city of St. Louis the Chargers franchise. Can you imagine, after all of this, they have to pack up and move out?
Taylor Twellman's a soccer guy. I mean, how do you offer a franchise to a city? You can't really. I mean, if you can't force Dean to sell, can you make him move to St. Louis if he doesn't want to go? That's the whole thing. The NFL puts their hands up in the air and they say, we can't do anything about this. So I don't think they can really offer St. Louis the team.
That's just inept. That's just inept top to bottom.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. You know, obviously I'd rather have them come back to San Diego, but it's not working in L.A. You really do need to look elsewhere, other options. St. Louis would be one of them. At least, you know, they did have a stadium plan. There wouldn't be any, you know, they wouldn't be instantly popular in St. Louis either, but they would have more of a chance
100%
to be popular in St. Louis than they would in Los Angeles. And I am 100% sure of that statement.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri. As people, Hammer, you lived in Missouri, didn't you? Why do they call it Missouri?
It's an I at the end.
They do. People call it Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri.
They do. He's saying they don't. I mean, he lived there. Are we wrong? I've heard it said. Missouri.
Yeah, I have as well.
It makes me insane, though, when they do. Oh, Missouri.
They also call it Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah, it's not Louisville.
It's Louisville.
It's Louisville.
But that's in Kentucky, which is
right, that's not
like bordering on Missouri. But, you know,
time to go,
it's
yeah.
neither here nor there. Are we done yet?
10 seconds, I think.
No,
it's 56,
it's like
right?
A minute and 10, a minute 20. Still
Hammer, come in
done.
Here. You're not doing anything out
Can
there.
Can you get us to the end of the show here?
Please. Jesus.
And let's get started.
First and foremost. Hammer,
you
don't need the headphones. You're telling me that in all of your time in Missouri, you never heard anybody call it Missouri?
Not single. Like, and the whole thing was when I went there, because I was just like, you guys, I was like, yo, is this true? And they're like, dude, anyone that was born after 1930 doesn't say Missouri.
Okay.
We see the I. It's Missouri.
It's
we
Missouri.
Know.
Yeah. But, I mean, you still have people say Missouri. And it makes me insane.
You don't.
Where was your school?
Warrensburg. So it's like a little bit east of Kansas City, about an hour.
Where did you fly into? Kansas City?
Kansas City.
KC?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it picked me up. We drove about an hour.
Hour drive? That's not too bad.
Not
Good
bad
barbecue.
At all. Bad. Dude, the greatest.
Barbecue, yeah, phenomenal.
Gates Barbecue, man. Oh, man, chow down.
Phenomenal. Not as good as the Higgins Barbecue, I will tell you that.
I wouldn't know.
But you were invited.
Well, that was the only time I got invited. There was a barbecue
before
that.
You're coming to the podcast.
That I wasn't Shelly's invited.
Yeah, that was all
Shelly's inviting you to the Regal Siegel tomorrow, so we're looking forward to that for
the
down
first
at our
one was
rendezvous.
All Ben.
All right, Hammer, thank you for eating up that final minute. We needed it badly. He's Hammer, executive producer Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. Jim Rome Show coming up next, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.